You're listening to the Texas Standard. In the boxing ring, he was known as Big George, but by the time his was a household name, George Foreman would be known for more than just his championship titles. He was also a heavyweight businessman. Foreman's story, which begins in East Texas and runs through Houston's Fifth Ward, is one of fighting one's way out of hardship, that's for sure. Now comes the first biography about the celebrity boxer and pitchman, No Way But to Fight. George Foreman and the Business of Boxing is the title. Andrew R.M. Smith is the author. He's also assistant professor of sport management and history at Nichols College in Dudley, Massachusetts. Professor Smith, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
What was it that got you so interested in George Foreman's story to begin with? I mean, it's not like he's, you know, on the front pages of newspapers that much anymore.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest problem was that no one had written a book about him. I grew up, not during his initial career, but when he was coming back to the ring. And he was a fascinating story to watch on TV and to read about in the headlines. But I realized I didn't really know anything about his first career. I didn't know why his name was on a grill that I was using to cook on in college. I didn't know a lot about George Foreman. So
had a busy day. My lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine is great to come home to. It lets you.
A lot of people really fell in with that grill.
Yes, there were millions that took to an indoor grill appliance.
What was it about? I mean, he didn't invent the grill that bore his name, but what was it about his business acumen, and how did that tie to his boxing career?
Foreman knew it was getting to the end of his boxing career and was looking for some other avenues to, invest in, to keep in the public eye. And so this really was kind of a marriage of convenience between a company and Salton Industries looking for a celebrity endorser and a celebrity looking for something he could not just endorse, but literally put his name on.
When you think about how popular George Foreman was there in the 90s, certainly, he had come a long way since, born in East Texas town of Marshall. I guess he really spent most of his childhood, though, in Houston in the Bloody Fifth, right?
He did. His family moved when he was really still an infant. And so most of his frame of reference is what had been called the Fifth Ward of Houston. He made trips back to Marshall to visit grandparents, through his childhood. And he eventually bought his own ranch and still felt a connection to East Texas for sure. His formative years were in a pretty rough part of a growing city.
And I should say, I wince a little bit when I use that reference to Bloody Fifth. That was what it became known as during a certain period of time in Texas history. What was it about that part of Houston that made it such a tough place to grow up in?
Well, you're talking about crowding a lot of people into a small area that was generally underdeveloped. And that's was not new in that part of Houston, and it certainly hasn't been remedied even as we're now into the 2020s. But part of the exodus of people from rural areas within Texas to a city like Houston that was really growing, especially around World War II with a lot of defense contracts and a lot of shipping industry, funneled a lot of folks into specific areas. And of course, Houston was also still in many ways racially segregated, so there weren't many options for African-American people moving from those former sharecropping arrangements into an urban center, and that's precisely what the Foreman family was doing.
The fighters move out for round one.
I think the first time a lot of people were introduced to Foreman was during the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, right? That was sort of his first big break on the international scene?
That's about the first time anyone might have seen him on TV.
This has to be the highlight of George's life as he goes right after the Russian, Ioannis Chipolis.
Well, tell us about that, one of the most iconic images from the 68 Olympics and George Foreman's role there. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, so waving the flag is an image that has been, sort of ingrained into the public memory of George Foreman. If you think of George Foreman, if you even Google George Foreman, you find either a teenager waving the flag at the Olympics, or maybe you find someone falling down in front of Muhammad Ali in the mid-1970s, or maybe you find an older, balder man in front of a grill in the mid-1990s. So it's one of these sort of three iconic images of George Foreman.
There's George holding up the American flag in the center of the ring before thousands of impressed spectators.
There wasn't necessarily, a premeditated demonstration, but after the fight was over, One of the things he felt compelled to do was to wave the flag. Now, he did that for about a heartbeat, and then you also see a teenager who's kind of excited, and he breaks into this little dancing riff on a time-honored tradition of bowing to the four corners of the ring after winning an Olympic gold. So you can see it might not have been the most important thing on his mind, but certainly by the time the newspapers hit the next day, that was the most important image in most Americans' minds.
He went on, of course, as most folks know, to have a winning streak as a professional boxer. He eventually would become a heavyweight champion. Remind us some of the fights that defined his career as a boxer in the late 60s and 70s.
The most important fight for his early professional career, he wasn't a part of. This was Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier's first fight. And the not just the intrigue and the money that came with their fight, but the difficulties in them renegotiating for a second fight opened up a space where George Foreman could kind of carve in a role and eventually challenge Joe Frazier for the heavyweight championship. And to the surprise of many, defeated Joe Frazier and became heavyweight champion long before a lot of boxing folks thought that Foreman would really be a viable contender. He defended his title twice before he met Muhammad Ali and eventually lost it.
Muhammad Ali has won by a knockdown.
That's the rumble in the jungle, right?
Exactly, the rumble in the jungle, to which the Zairean government strongly objected. They sent many press releases to inform tourists that no one would be sleeping in any jungles, that there were at least two Western-style hotels in the Kinshasa area.
So the fight with Muhammad Ali would be the end to his heavyweight boxing title, right?
The first time around, yes.
The first time around. He does make his return, and that was when you became really interested in George Foreman, and he becomes a businessman as well as we move into the 90s. Where is George Foreman now? I mean, and what do you think his enduring legacy will be when as a kind of a pop culture figure in the United States?
Right now, he's still in the Houston area. He's further out of town, and you can kind of see the trajectory of George Foreman, like I'm sure a lot of other folks who were able to make it out of, say, the Fifth Ward. But you talk about the enduring legacy of George Foreman to boxing, and I think there are multiple threads, but he really does help clean up the image of boxing in the mid-1990s. Remember, in the late 80s, boxing in America got a really huge boost from Mike Tyson, who was a dominant heavyweight figure. But with Mike Tyson's conviction for rape in the early 1990s and sort of the change of his character in the years preceding that, boxing had declined a little bit. And I think George Foreman really helped to bring that sport back into at least the American public eye for a few more years. And sort of show us a different vision of what a boxer could be and also what an athlete could be.
That's the voice of Andrew R.M. Smith. He's the author of No Way But to Fight, George Foreman and the Business of Boxing. Professor Smith, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard. It's been a lot of fun to get to say hello to you and to talk about a really interesting figure in American popular culture.
Thank you, David. It was my pleasure.